going to take it anymore. We want our government back, and this is what democracy looks like.
State Senator Julie Lassa, a Democrat from Stevens Point, addressing a rally of supporters in her hometown on Monday, in which she supported the efforts to hold recall elections against several of her Republican colleagues in order to change the balance of power in Madison. I'm Glenn Moberg, and today on Route 51, my guests are two members of the so-called Wisconsin 14, a group of Democrats that fled the state in order to prevent a quorum in Madison and prevent passage of a law favored by Governor Scott Walker that would all but eliminate collective bargaining rights for public employees at the state and at the local level. Despite the senator's absence for 3 weeks and despite massive protests at the state capitol, that bill was changed and then passed without a single Democrat voting for it, and it was signed by the governor. The measure is now facing a court challenge and may be heading to the state Supreme Court. Senator Julie Lassa is in our Wisconsin Public Radio studio in Wausau, and she is joined on the telephone by her colleague, State Senator Bob Jauch, a Democrat from Superior. Now, they are with us for the next hour, and we are taking your phone calls at 1-800-780-9742. That's 1-800-780-9742. Bob Jauch, Julie Lassa, thanks so much for being with us on Route 51 today.
Oh, my pleasure.
It's very nice to speak with you. Thank you.
The decision of the 14 of you to flee the state and go to Illinois to keep that budget repair bill from being passed, it was certainly one of the most dramatic and controversial chapters in the history of this state, yet in the end, the bill got passed anyway, without you being there to vote. So tell me exactly why this was worth it when you didn't accomplish your goal, and Bob, will let you go first.
Well, first of all, remember that the governor used a fiscal repair bill as a vehicle to amount to what is known as an all-out assault on workers' rights, an end to 52 years of collective bargaining, and an attack on in an effort to bust unions. He announced the bill and declared it absolutely necessary to restructure our borrowing to raise $165 million in order to balance our budget by July 1st. And he said that is the reason why it was so essential that this bill had to pass. However, that 140-page bill, 100 pages of it were dedicated to this assault on workers' rights, provisions that included elections that required 50% of all the members, not just those who were voting, so it gave power to people who didn't vote, and included two extraordinarily what I believe to be anti-Wisconsin provisions. One is a provision that gave the Secretary of Health Services the chance to ignore the law and take the poor, the disabled, and the elderly off of Medicaid services, even if the law said that those services had to be provided. In other words, Governor Walker wanted to be above the law in cutting services. He didn't want to have to change the law. The final provision, which really appalled most people when they found out about it, was the provision that sold off power plants, some $600 million in assets, without any public bid, certainly inviting the perception of, or at the very least, of corruption or corruption in itself in selling off public assets. So this was all intended to pass by the public in 5 days. It was truly an abuse of power. We were left with no choice but to leave the state, slow the bill down, and in doing so, we gave the voices back to the people of Wisconsin, and they responded in terms of hundreds of thousands.
So you're saying that because of the protests, because of the demonstrations, even though this bill got passed anyway, you think it was worth it?
Well, I think two things happened. Certainly, I think it's worth it when history records the time we spend. You want to be recorded on the side of protecting rights, not on the side of taking those rights away. Been few times in American history. There have been a few battles in American history about rights. And the goats are those who are trying to, they don't think of George Wallace as a hero in terms of civil rights or human rights or equal rights. They certainly think of Martin Luther King and Little Rock Nine as heroes in that regard.
A lot of your supporters, Senator Jauch, do consider you to be heroes, but a lot of Republicans that I've talked to consider you to be really nothing more than lawbreakers who shirked your duty by running away when you should have been on the floor of the state capitol debating this bill and voting on it.
First of all, I believe we did a better job in serving the people of Wisconsin in the land of Lincoln than those legislators who played political games on the floor of the state Senate rather than listening to their constituents. Remember that we were receiving historic volumes of mail. I represented the people of my district. If you simply look at the volume of mail, I received 20,000 calls from Wisconsin, calls and emails from Wisconsin residents alone that opposed the governor's proposal, only 5,000 in support. In my district, it was 5,600 to 1,100. People supported the decision. They were furious with the proposal. They wanted it changed. And we were using the time to try to provide a resolution truly come up with a compromise. There wasn't a desire by the Republicans or the governor because they were interested, as Scott Fitzgerald said, to trying to kill workers' rights in order to win an election next year. So
the governor said
he was playing politics, not us.
Bob, the governor said his emails were running 2-1 in favor of the actions he was taking.
Well, and when they did a summary, I haven't gone and counted his, I counted mine. And when I did it, they did a summary. They included a lot of out of state mail. And frankly, I was on Fox News one time, and a lot of my anti-mail came in from South Dakota and other places of the country where they couldn't find Wisconsin on a map but decided compelled to state their opinion. What really matters is what do people in Wisconsin say? And my emails were 20,000 against and 5,000 in favor. And many of the 5,000 were misinformed because they thought it truly was an issue of fiscal issues. And when I explained that we were in the heat of an agreement, as the unions were with the governor on paying more for health care, on paying more for pensions, on the willingness to provide $845 million more for taxpayers, they understood that this really was a pretense for something, and they were being used.
Julie Lassa, do you have any regrets about fleeing the state, as the Republicans would say, shirking your legislative duties for almost 3 weeks?
Well, I would say that we were representing, just as Bob said, we were representing our constituents better than probably the Republicans were, because we gave the public in this state the time necessary to really understand what was in that budget repair bill, and gave them time to voice their opinion, whether it was in support or in opposition. And, you know, I, like Bob, we received in my office thousands of contacts, both through email, mail, and telephone calls. The vast majority were opposed to what Governor Walker was proposing and were in support of changing the bill or killing it outright altogether. And we did, you know, we have tried to work with our Republican colleagues in the legislature as well as Governor Walker in trying to get changes made, because, you know, from the very beginning, the public employees were willing to pay what the governor asked them to pay for their health insurance as well as for their pension, but he walked away.
But no changes were made, and, you know, by all by any analysis, the governor and the Republicans are holding to their guns.
Well, they might have won this battle in terms of ramming this bill through, but they're currently facing challenges within the circuit court system about the fact that they broke open meetings law in the state of Wisconsin in their desire to take away workers' rights. You have a temporary restraining order that was issued by a circuit court judge last week that does not allow this bill to be published, and there's a court hearing on that matter coming up next week on Tuesday. And I just think that it is important that The public had a chance to find out was in the bill, because when they were attempting to ram it through in less than a week, the public didn't have the opportunity to know what was in the bill or to have a clear voice. The Republicans in the Joint Finance Committee, there were hundreds of people who were lined up in order to testify for 2 minutes about their opinion on the governor's budget repair bill, and they shut them off, left hundreds of people waiting in the hallway who wanted to testify.
Had that hearing already gone on for 3 days?
The hearing had gone on for 17 hours, but when you have a bill that is at the scale of what this bill was, to roll back over 50 years of worker rights in the state of Wisconsin, that is a power grab by the governor to take away from the legislature the ability to have any say within, you know, what happens to senior care or Medicaid, Badger care, family care. It's a dramatic and change of policy. And, you know, folks, I think, really woke up to the fact that, you know, Governor Walker has this radical agenda. He was willing to ram it through in just a few days, and we were able to stop it to expose that agenda.
We're going to let Governor Walker speak for himself, and I'm going to ask Bob and Julie, both of you, to react to this. This is about a four-minute interview that I had a chance to do with the governor when he made an appearance in Wausau, not this past Tuesday, but the Tuesday before that. And here's Governor Walker at Piper Products Company in Wausau.
Governor, you've said that you have to remove the collective bargaining rights from the public employees in order to give local governments the tools that they need in order to balance their own budgets. But why then are so many governments, local governments in central Wisconsin, opposed to it? The city of Marshfield right now is pushing through union contracts or getting it done before your bill becomes law. City of Stevens Point, the mayor went down there and said, don't take our collective bargaining rights away. Wausau City Council voted unanimously saying, don't mess with the collective bargaining rights for our local workers. If it's not for these local units of government, because they're all opposed to you, who's it for?
Well, there are people all across the state that have been asking for it, local governments, county executives, mayors, school board administrators, many of whom have been asking for it for years. They've been asking for support at the local level. This is about long-term sustainability. And let me correct one thing. There are no rights with collective bargaining. It's not in the Constitution at the U.S. or the federal level, nor in the state Constitution. That's why federal government employees do not have collective bargaining for wages and benefits. It's why many states across the country do not have that. Indiana made the same change 6 years ago. Their government's now more efficient, more effective, more accountable to the public, and actually their best and their brightest have been rewarded throughout this process. So it actually has worked. It's made government work better in other places. And it's ultimately in the best interest of not just those elected officials, but of the people they serve.
Now, how do you explain the Wausau City Council voting unanimously against it?
I explain that they're people who in many cases have been supported by unions for their own very elections. So it's political. But in the end, for the people they serve, this is about protecting middle-class jobs and middle-class taxpayers. Without these changes, without these reforms, many of these local governments would be facing massive layoffs or massive property tax increases, and that would be detrimental to the middle class here in north central Wisconsin and all across the state of Wisconsin.
Your critics say this move is political. It's not about the budget. It's about breaking the Democratic Party and their union support so Republicans win elections. And your own Senate Majority Leader, Scott Fitzgerald, said it's all about getting Barack Obama defeated in Wisconsin in two years.
No,
he said that.
Well, the correction is that's why he said the president was involved, because he views it as being political. It's why the president of the United States three times has stuck his nose in this, even though he's got a much bigger budget crisis in the federal government. And why, frankly, I think the president wasn't aware that federal employees do not have collective bargaining for wages and benefits. If it was a fundamental right, people should be protesting outside of the White House because federal government employees do not have that. The bottom line is this is not only about balancing the budget now, but balancing it for generations to come. We've gotten into this trouble because Republicans and Democrats alike for years have been in a position where they have passed the buck onto the future. We can no longer allow these deficits to be pushed off to the next generation. We've got to fix it now. It's the reason why we have a $3.6 billion deficit. 2 years ago, Governor Doyle and the lawmakers in charge at that time took $2 billion of one-time federal stimulus aid, and instead of making the tough decisions then, pushed it off to the future. So the politics came firmly from the 14 individuals who left for 3 weeks. Any of these guys here at a company like this or any other middle-class worker in the state would have been fired if they left their job for 3 weeks. That's where the true politics were. We're trying to balance the budget, and that's exactly what we're doing.
Why the short notice for appearances like this?
Let me ask.
It was only 3 hours before this appearance, 3 hours. The Marathon County Democratic Party says you're hiding from the protesters and hiding from the people by scheduling appearances like that with just 3 hours of notice.
We're actually talking to real people at real companies who are the real middle class, not the tens of thousands of protesters that have been brought in, not only from around Wisconsin, but from Nevada, from Illinois, from New Jersey and other places. Increasingly are coming in from other states, big union bosses from Washington sending in thugs to try and intimidate people in the state of Wisconsin. Instead, what we're doing is going out to talking to people at factories like this and other businesses across the state who truly represent the middle class in Wisconsin.
That was an unedited 4-minute portion of an interview that I had with Governor Walker at an appearance in Wausau about a week and a half ago. My guests today on Route 51, State Senators Julie Lassa and Bob Jauch, both Democrats, both part of the Wisconsin 14. Bob Jauch, I'd like you to react to what you just heard the governor said, specifically his characterization of many of the protesters in Madison as being people who were brought in from out of state, in his words, thugs who were brought in by union bosses.
You know, it's really discouraging listening to a governor who seems so intent on polarizing people rather than unifying them. Extremely insulting comments by Governor Walker. For him to characterize the tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands, of people who walked around the square as thugs and out of state organizers is really the ultimate insult, and almost appears delusional, because while I was there for that Saturday, what I saw was the faces of Wisconsin. Since coming back, I've held 7 forums in northern Wisconsin, attended 2 different rallies. I've probably been in touch with 1,500 people, many of whom came down with their children. Grandparents who came down with their sons and daughters, folks of all walks of life, people who are Republicans, who have voted Republicans but say never again. This is the face of Wisconsin, and for him to characterize it in such derogatory terms really demonstrates the kind of problem we have in trying to solve real problems in the state. Remember that he also said the day that the bill was signed, his comment was in Milwaukee, frankly, we've had he called it a civil discussion. He said passions have been high, but people have been civil, other than these outside agitators who are coming in from Washington. By the way, there hasn't been one arrest at these rallies. There are more arrests at a Badger football game before the game starts than there have been in the entire 5 weeks in which over 500,000 people have showed up. These are people who care about their state. They believe in their state. They're deeply troubled. They want to influence the outcome. They feel as though they have their voice. And when they have a governor who also said he wants people to respect the rights of others without understanding that, in fact, workers' rights are human rights, he should listen to the Archbishop in Milwaukee who said, especially in hard economic times, it is a moral imperative that we protect workers' rights in the workplace. This is a governor who seems to relish playing to Fox News and an ideological base, regardless of what it does to divide the people of Wisconsin.
Let me get a reaction from Julie Lassa to the governor's remarks that there are no such things as collective bargaining rights. They aren't in the Constitution of the federal government or the state government, and federal workers don't have collective bargaining rights.
Well, collective bargaining and workers' rights have been established law, excuse me, in the state of Wisconsin for over 50 years. They are rights that workers have striven for, fought for, and died for. And if people would really understand the history, the proud history of Wisconsin, they would see that it was actually Wisconsin, through its progressive roots, that really started collective bargaining rights. And we can claim unemployment insurance and workers' comp and the rest. They all started here in the state of Wisconsin, over a half over a half century ago. But the fact that the governor would talk about outside agitators, I mean, Bob is absolutely right. The rallies that I've been to, whether it's been in Madison or here in my district, have all been peaceful rallies. They're people from the district, they're people from the state who are really concerned about the direction that Governor Walker wants to take the state of Wisconsin. He wants to take us backwards rather than following our motto, which is forward.
Julie Lassa and Bob Jauch, my guests on Route 51. I'm Glenn Moberg. We're going to be back with your phone calls after this short break.
Support for WPR comes from UMR, a United Healthcare company providing employee benefits administration, integrated health management, and pharmacy benefits administration for self-funded employers throughout the U.S. More at umr.com.
Let's go to the telephones. We have... let's see, Steve in Columbus, who has been waiting patiently. Steve, you're on with Julie Lassa and Bob Jauch. Hello, Steve.
Hi, good afternoon. Thanks for taking my call. First of all, I just want to thank both Julie and Bob for their service to the state, especially in what's a fairly difficult time, pretty intense things going on these days. Interestingly enough, Julie, I'm the new city administrator for the city of Marshfield. I just started there in January, and I'm very much looking forward to meeting with you and working on things that are important to Marshfield and Central Wisconsin.
I look forward to that as well. We got a lot of challenges.
I hope it's soon. I'm a little bit to the other side of the political spectrum from the two of you, but I definitely respect you and the things you've been doing. I guess my concern, though, is, you know, looking out to the future, steps like what you took in terms of going to Illinois and the recall effort that's being worked on now. Sometimes I think that you might want to be careful what you wish for, because in 2 or 4 years, if the Democrats regain control, I mean, you may see this happen in the reverse. I guess I'm kind of wondering if, especially recall elections, which require a lot of work and special elections and costs, and going through all that might not become a disturbing trend if it becomes a frequent thing. In other words, if, let's say, the Republicans are back in the minority and some of their supporters are saying, well, look, we're going to recall Julie and Bob, and this becomes a common occurrence. And I don't know that it ever will be, but I guess that kind of makes me a little bit concerned. Thanks, and I'll just I'll listen for your response.
All right, Steve, thanks so much for the phone call, and good luck at the city of Marshfield. We'll be looking forward to talking with you in the weeks ahead. And unfortunately, we're going to have to talk to Bob and Julie after our news break, because we have used up the entire first half of the show. But Steve, we will get a response from your comments about whether or not recall elections will become a common thing, and whether or not maybe we should just let the course of democracy play itself out. I'm Glenn Moberg. We'll be back with more of Route 51 with Bob Jauch and Julie Lassa after this news.
Support for...
We are back on Route 51 Regional Talk Radio. I'm Glenn Moberg. My guests today, State Senator Bob Jauch, a Democrat of Superior, and State Senator Julie Lassa, Democrat of Stevens Point, two of the so-called Wisconsin 14, the Democrats who fled the state in order to keep the governor's budget repair bill from becoming law by denying it a quorum. We are taking your phone calls at 1-800-780-9742, and we do have a couple of lines open right now if you'd like to get through. 1-800-780-9742 if you'd like to talk to Senator Bob Jauch or Senator Julie Lassa. Before the news break, Steve, who apparently is the new city administrator for the city of Marshfield, called and said... aren't you worried that this kind of extraordinary action, fleeing the state to prevent quorums from taking place and recall elections, what if this becomes commonplace in Wisconsin? Julie Lassa, your reaction to his comments.
Well, I don't think that, you know, this will, either one of these things will become commonplace in the state of Wisconsin. Us barring the Senate Republicans from having a quorum was an extraordinary action due to the extraordinary breadth of the bill that they were trying to pass in just a few days without any, hardly any public input whatsoever, and without the public really having full knowledge of what was in the bill. So our actions were something that were in extraordinary in response to that really detrimental bill, and something that the Constitution provides for. It was the only, one and only time that I know of.
Well, one of your colleagues, Tim Cullen, is trying to make it the one and only time forever. He's trying to get a constitutional amendment passed that would prevent a situation like that from ever occurring again. Bob Jauch,
well,
do you support
that? Well, let me, before I answer that question, I want to get back to the extraordinary effort by Governor Walker to create such a division in us, in the state. It is very clear that he has become a very polarizing governor and has been very, very interested in pursuing an agenda, whether it is good for the people of Wisconsin or not. He's also a master at deception. In that interview, that four-minute interview, he continued to argue that this is something that the people of Wisconsin had wanted. Yet you had a city administrator who called, who said, we don't really want these tools. You indicated in your interview, mayor after mayor, school board after school board said, we don't want these tools. We can get along with these people. We can negotiate with them. They did not cause these fiscal problems. And he ignored that. He was going to impose the tools on them, whether they wanted them or not. The fact is that never in his campaign, when he says people around the state have been asking for this, people have agreed with him on the need for increased pension and health care costs. That's what he campaigned for. Never once did this governor ever say he was going to get rid of collective bargaining rights. He was going to break the backs of unions. Yet that became his intention as he played to the right and squeezed working class families in the middle. What the question to your listeners is this, whether they agree or not on the issue. What does taking collective bargaining rights away from nurses and staff people at university hospital and clinics who we use no state tax dollars for have anything to do with balancing our budget? It has everything to do with his intention to get even with people. And when you have those of us who were elected on November 3rd, it is time to put election politics aside. It's time to put resentment aside. It's time to put revenge and retribution aside and talk about reconciliation on how we can get Wisconsin back on the right track. And what he did is propose a bill that deeply divided us over the collective bargaining while we were united over the effort to increase pension and health care plans. I put an item on the table for the governor. It took him 19 days before he responded to it.
Bob Jauch, recalls can go both ways. Are you worried that you might see some of your Democratic colleagues recalled in the months ahead?
Here's what I'm worried about, and I think Julie would share the same point of view. First of all, Julie and I aren't in the business of asking for recalls or organizing people. We were thrust in the middle, much like the people of Wisconsin were. We didn't plan to leave the state of Wisconsin.
But you are favoring the recall of some of your Republican colleagues, are you not?
I'm not engaged in whether I favor them or not. I don't.
Well,
I don't
Julie, hold it just a second, Bob. Julie, I've heard you at some of these rallies come right out and tell the hundreds, and in fact, in Wisconsin Rapids, there were almost 2,000 people there, tell them to fan out and go to the neighboring districts and work for the recall of the Republicans. I mean, you said that.
Well, what I've been talking about, there's a recall going on in my own district against me, and a lot of the Democratic recalls are being organized by this out-of-state group. They're an extremist group from Utah that are trying to, you know, come into people's districts and organize, you know, these recalls. What has been happening in the Republican districts is a grassroots effort from people who are really frustrated. And with their legislators who apparently fear Governor Walker more than and listen to him more than what they're willing to listen to their own constituents
if,
and be rubber stamps.
If
for
you
them.
Are that opposed to Governor Walker's agenda, isn't a recall right now the only way you can put a stop to it, or at least slow it down in order to take over at least one house of the legislature, because then he's got to compromise with you.
Let me try to answer it this way. The governor said in one of his press conferences, day in and day out, I tried to find a solution. Glenn, beginning on day one, I reached out to the administration. So did Senator Cullen. So did several of our members to try to find a way that we could find a compromise to guarantee protection for the taxpayers and avoid this division over collective bargaining. Public employees, their grandparents, people weren't protesting because they had to pay more. They were angry that he suggested that a $600 payment out of a $50,000 salary is modest. That shows out of touch he is with economic reality in the middle class. But the fact is that they were willing to pay that increased share sacrifice. They're angry that he's letting the corporations off the hook while he's attacking the middle class. But Senator Cullen and I in particular reached out, had negotiating sessions. And each time he responded in negotiating sessions with berating sessions. He held a press conference. He held 20 press conferences and 2 negotiating sessions. I wish he had reversed the order. We would have had a solution. And we could have avoided this division that is going on around the state. Now, back to my comment on recalls. What I've been saying in response to the question, what can we do? I said, you've got 3 things. You can continue to exercise your voice to try to change the process. One that it seemed as though Republican lawmakers turned a deaf ear to the public, even though a great majority of their constituency told them that they were wrong. It's the first time I have seen that happen in 29 years in the state legislature. Usually we find the middle ground, the common ground. We find that compromise. This is where bitter, rigid ideology seemed to take place. The second thing is that you exercise it with your feet, and you get involved in campaigns. And these recalls started before we came back. This group from Utah was filing recalls in the second week. So people are going to be engaged politically, not just through these recalls, into next year and into November of next year, to try to get us back to some mainstream.
And, Bob, the third thing?
Well, they can continue to be informed and respectful and civil. And I think that everyone that I've been to has been remarkable. I was at a forum in Rice Lake with 450 people, and at the end of the forum, people who were asking critical questions were being applauded by the people who disagreed with them. We need to foster respect. But when you have a governor that says, I think we ought to respect the rights of others while he's trampling on workers' rights and doesn't understand that workers' rights are human rights. Human rights aren't in our Constitution either. But it is a basic part of the dignity that is deserved for a worker in the workplace to assure that not only do they have economic security, but workplace security.
Let's go back to the phones. Jim in Tomahawk has been waiting oh so patiently since the beginning of the radio show. Jim, you're on Route 51 with Bob Jauch and Julie Lassa. Jim?
Yes.
Yes, you're on the radio, Jim.
Oh, thank you. I'm from up at Tomahawk, and I'm on the Lincoln County Board, and I applaud the Democrats for what they have done. I think they're saving democracy. You know, all of that stuff has been said. I agree with everything that has been said by both of you folks. But it only gets us part of the way there in terms of talking about what Walker did. What I need from the Democrat side is a well-articulated set of solutions to the problems that we face. And, you know, at the county board level, where, you know, we've been tooled by this guy, but we need to figure out what the Democrats will make this look like in terms of solutions. Because right now all the local municipalities and county boards are scared as hell about how to manage things. And so I think what we need to get the message out there from the Democrats is a well articulated set of solutions that just forget Walker and start talking about what the real solutions should be coming from your vantage point, as opposed to talking about Walker.
Jim, thanks so much for the phone call.
I'm standing at a protest right now at the Lincoln County Courthouse.
I think,
you know, we're doing our best here, but we need people to explain how we're going to fix these problems from the standpoint of the Democrats.
Jim, you're at a protest right now at the Lincoln County Courthouse. Is that what I heard you say? They're gathering recall signatures for Jim Holprin there. Is that correct?
Well, there's a recall. There's a little group of about four people here, and then there's probably 25 or 30 people are supporting Jim Holperin. So the ratio is about, you know, 6-1 in support of Jim Holperin.
All right. Well, that explains the bullhorn that I hear in the background. Jim, thanks so much for the phone call. Let's let Julie Lassa, maybe you can respond to Jim. It's one thing to oppose something, but it's another thing to offer constructive solutions.
Right. And that's something that Democrats did in terms of an alternative for the governor's budget repair bill. What we had asked Governor Walker and the Republicans to do was to strip out all of the policy, and we would work with them on the fiscal issues. And those were identified by the Legislative Fiscal Bureau. They're a nonpartisan agency within the legislature. And just by us dealing with the fiscal matters, we would have had $11 million more than what the governor would have ended up with. And they turned that down. And I think, you know, as we go through this budget process, the Legislative Fiscal Bureau is going to have all their analysis done next week. The Finance Committee is going to be starting holding agency hearings on their particular parts of the budget next week, and we're going to find out more. But the fact is what we do know that's already out there is Governor Walker is making some very black and white choices. He is cutting, you know, our local governments, our counties, and our school districts by billions of dollars. You have with the public schools, he's cutting them by $1 billion. And at the same time, he is then giving tax money to wealthy families from Milwaukee and southeastern Wisconsin so that their kids can go to private school. Why is he taking money from our public schools here in central and northern Wisconsin just to give to these wealthy families who choose to send their kids to private school? That is not a choice that you know, we should be making.
Let's go back to the phones. We have Kelly in Mercer. Kelly, you're on Route 51 with Bob Jauch and Julie Lawson.
Yeah, I too would like to thank both Bob, he's my my senator, and Julie and the other 12 Democrats for doing the only thing they had left to do to give us a chance to look at what was really going on. I appreciate their support. As a public worker, I find it very disturbing from that four-minute clip that Scott Walker seems to think that public workers are not part of the middle class. I can tell you taking home less than $40,000 a year, it's difficult to make all those payments and stuff, and it will have a significant impact, especially here in the North, where so many employees, whether it's county or state, are the ones that have the jobs and can spend money in the local areas.
And Bob Jauch, she's your constituent, so maybe you should respond to her.
Well, it's very good of her to call, and she, too, is the voice of Wisconsin. She is the one who has been showing up, whether it's in northeastern Wisconsin, northern Wisconsin, northwest, central, or in Madison.
I've been to Madison multiple times, and I've also been to Rhinelander supporting Jim.
These are thank you very kindly. Because one of the things that we did was give citizens their voice back. They related. These are not partisan. I don't know what her partisan affiliation is. Many of them have never been involved before. They just feel a need. They feel a connection. Somehow our action provided them hope. And they're inspiring each other to be more engaged in turning this around. In the specific answer to your question, the earlier question, I do think we have to put positive suggestions out there, and Julie is absolutely right. If there's going to be shared sacrifice, it has to be for the economic elite and the corporations who are getting tax breaks at the same time people are paying more. It shouldn't be giving $100 million to the insurance company and destroying senior care, but should be protecting the senior citizens in this state. It shouldn't be $43 million in increased taxes for low-income wage earners, but $46 million in tax cuts for corporations. The other thing is we should have recognized that it took at least 4 years to get into this mess, and it's going to take more than 2 years. By he is creating real economic harm to this state and is going to hurt retailers in Mercer, Wisconsin, and Hurley, Wisconsin, and Superior, Wisconsin, because when people don't have that $600 on a $50,000 salary or $400 on a $40,000 salary, that's less money they have to spend in the community. He's really hurting small business, small citizens, the middle class, and they're speaking out, and I'm very proud of them. I'm going to have to go because I've got to catch a ride, but thank you very much for the time, and I wish you the best.
Bob Jauch, thanks so much for joining us, and I think Julie will be able to hold down the fort here for the remaining 10 minutes or so of the program. I'm Glenn Mobrig. This is Route 51 Regional Talk Radio. We'll be back with more of your questions for Julie Lassa right after this short break.
The businesses, professionals, and organizations that support Wisconsin Public Radio's programming play an important part in our financial health. When you visit a WPR sponsor, please let them know that you appreciate their support of the station. Thanks very much.
I'm Glenn Mobrig. This is Route 51 Regional Talk Radio. Bob Jauch had to leave us, but we are still well represented here with State Senator Julie Lassa, one of the Democrats who fled to Illinois, taking your phone calls. And let's see, I believe Will in Stevens Point was next, and I think Will had to leave us, so let's go back to Larry in Stevens Point. And I've got nothing for Larry here. Let's go to Gene in Marshfield.
Hello?
Yeah, Gene?
Yeah, I can hardly hear you.
Hang on just a second. How's that? Gene, can you hear me now? We lost Gene in Marshfield. we've just managed to lose all three of our callers. But if you would please call back, and we'll try to get you on. We've only got a couple of minutes here with Julie Lassa. Julie, we've got a state Supreme Court race coming up between David Prosser and Joanne Kloppenburg. A lot of people who are supporting the union movement are working for David Prosser to be defeated. This, of course, is a nonpartisan election, but it seems to be taking a partisan tilt.
It does. I think that people are definitely getting engaged in the democratic process and are really concerned about the direction that this state is heading. And so this is the closest election that we have in terms of on the ballot, and people are definitely getting engaged on both sides.
The ads are running saying a vote for David Prosser is a vote for Scott Walker. Do you believe that?
Well, I think that, you know, people should look at the candidates' qualifications and where they have come from and their experience. And, you know, it's tough to say. I think, you know, people need to look at their own record you know, I think do a little bit more research.
Julie, you're not going to take a position on this. I can see that right now.
Well, I don't want to come out and endorse a Supreme Court candidate. I do have my own personal feelings, but I think, you know, folks are so engaged right now that they are interested in the electoral process, and they will be going out and looking at the qualifications of Joanne Kloppenburg and David Prosser. You know, I used to serve...
Julie, enough said. Let's let's go to Gene in Marshfield. I want to squeeze in at least a couple more phone
sure.
calls. And Gene, I think we disconnected you before, so you're back.
Yes. First of all, I wanted to thank the 14, including Julie, who was on the air there, for going to Illinois and giving the people of Wisconsin time to find out what was in that bill. I very much appreciate that. I have not really been too involved in, as probably as involved as I should have been, in politics and paying attention to what's going on, but I have lately. And I can see that there's only one choice when you talked about the recalls, for us to get one side of the legislative branch to change parties, because it's the only stopgap we've got. And after listening to your interview with Scott Walker, I was hearing the same thing, broken record, I've heard over and over and over again. on all his public statements that, and the what really irritated me was the fact that I have been to Madison three times to the demonstrations, and I was just told that I was unimportant, that if I don't own a big business, I'm not important. And that just increased my resolve to borrow from Sean Hannity and say that my goal is to do whatever I can to make Scott Walker a one-year governor.
Gene, thanks so much for the phone call. We're going to have to leave it at that, and I am so sorry that Trish and Stevens Point, I'll tell you what, I'm going to try to get one more call in here. Trish, I'm sorry, we only have about 15 or 20 seconds for you to make your point.
I want to tell you I support Julie Lassa, I support the 14, but I'm concerned about the divisiveness and the rhetoric that has been throughout our state. I want to know what the Democrats are going to do to take the high ground and to try to build a bridge back so that we can get politics and so that we can get democracy and legislation done.
Trish, thanks so much for the phone call. And Julie, you've got about 30 seconds to tell me how you're going to build a high ground here.
Thanks, Trish, very much for your call and your comments. I think that, you know, I am by nature a very optimistic person, and I think that the Republicans and Democrats, you know, we can work together to come up with solutions that help to move the state of Wisconsin forward. I think that there has been a lot of divisive politics, the way things have run so far, but I'm hoping that the Republicans will see that, you know, this divisiveness has to end, and we have to be able to work together. And the Democrats certainly are there, willing to be part of that solution.
We want to thank Julie Lassa and Bob Jauch for joining us today. I'm Glenn Moberg of Wisconsin Public Radio. Thanks to our executive producer, Rick Ryer. Our on-air producers, Jane Ritker and Jake Clotty. Thanks, as always, to John Altenberg for the Route 51 theme. Next Thursday at 5 on Route 51, we look at the Republican side of the debate with freshman State Senator Pam Galloway, Republican of Wausau, and State Senator Luther Olson from the birthplace of the Republican Party, Ripon, Wisconsin. As always, we'll be taking your phone calls. A reminder, you can follow our adventures on Facebook and Twitter. Thanks again for riding along with us today. Until next week, we are heading out of town.